August 2021. Afghanistan's capital falls to the Taliban in hours. Panic erupts at Kabul's airport as desperate crowds surge toward departing planes. Somewhere in that chaos, an interpreter named Aziz, a man who saved Marine Chad Robichaud's life three times across eight combat deployments, sends a message. "Brother, I can't reach the airport. The Taliban are everywhere." For most people, this would be a tragic but inevitable outcome of war's end. For Chad, it was a call he couldn't ignore. The brotherhood forged in Afghanistan's deadliest valleys demanded action, not helplessness. What began as one veteran's desperate mission to honor a debt became an extraordinary civilian-led operation that rescued over 17,000 people when their own government abandoned them. This is the story of how loyalty, faith, and the warrior code accomplished what bureaucracy wouldn't. Chad's mission crystallized at an abandoned swimming pool overlooking Kabul. Aziz, his interpreter, brought him to this Soviet-era Olympic facility transformed into a Taliban execution site. The concrete basin was riddled with bullet holes at the height of kneeling victims. A steel cable noose hung from the rusted diving platform. This was the killing pool, where public executions became routine for crimes like teaching girls to read. Aziz shared the most haunting detail. His 12-year-old cousin Fatima had jumped from an upper floor rather than face Taliban fighters who discovered her forbidden education. Many young girls made that same desperate choice. Standing there, Chad vowed that if his service prevented even one child's execution or spared one girl from feeling suicide was her only escape, his time in Afghanistan would matter. Aziz wasn't just another interpreter. At 25, he'd been fast-tracked into special operations for exceptional skills, fluent English, street smarts, and crucial cultural intelligence. He accompanied Chad on over 100 dangerous missions. When an anti-Western protest erupted, Aziz pulled Chad to safety, wrapping him in a traditional shawl and navigating back alleys while speaking loudly in Pashto. When military command deemed rescuing trapped contractor Jerry too risky, Chad went anyway. Aziz's response was immediate: "Where you go, I go, brother." They drove through crossfire, with Aziz navigating childhood streets while Chad retrieved Jerry from a burning building. Another time, Aziz's intuition about a suspicious weapons meeting saved their lives. Four Taliban fighters arrived instead of the expected contact. This was brotherhood forged in shared danger. Chad's final deployment shattered him. The Taliban captured and executed 10 Afghan teammates, men whose homes he'd visited, whose children he'd played with. Days later, he was abducted by Taliban sympathizers and interrogated for hours before being inexplicably released. After discovering a teammate's betrayal, his home was destroyed by a vehicle-borne IED. The psychological toll was catastrophic. Severe panic attacks consumed him. Diagnosed with chronic PTSD, he lost his security clearance and essentially his career. Despite outward success running martial arts schools and competing professionally in MMA, his inner world collapsed. During a suicidal moment, his wife Kathy confronted him. "You're quitting on your family despite all your professional discipline." That wake-up call led him to seek help through faith, eventually creating the Mighty Oaks Foundation to help other veterans. 8 years later, reconnected with Aziz, Chad learned of his desire to move to America. They began navigating the special immigrant visa process, a bureaucratic nightmare where applicants waited years despite a congressional 9-month mandate. For interpreters working on classified programs, obtaining required documentation proved nearly impossible. When President Biden announced complete withdrawal from Afghanistan, Chad knew Aziz and thousands of other allies were in mortal danger. The promise he'd made at the killing pool was about to be tested. Chad viewed the withdrawal as catastrophically flawed. Announcing a fixed departure date surrendered all leverage, while prioritizing symbolism, withdrawing on September 11, over strategy, handed Afghanistan back to terrorists during peak fighting season. When U.S. forces abandoned Bagram Air Base on July 2, leaving only Kabul Airport defended, they'd surrendered the most valuable military position in Central Asia, positioned between Iraq, Iran, Russia, and China. Chad rejected claims that Afghans wouldn't fight, an insult to a warrior culture that had lost 66,000 troops and 48,000 civilians since 2001. Without crucial U.S. air support, the emboldened Taliban publicly executed 22 captured Afghan commandos with no U.S. response. The message was clear. America had abandoned its allies. On August 15th, Kabul fell. President Ghani fled with millions. The American flag came down as personnel evacuated by helicopter, exactly like the Saigon evacuation officials insisted wouldn't happen. For Chad, who treasured a flag that had flown over that embassy and his owner, watching it lowered was especially painful. The American military hadn't been defeated, but the U.S. government surrendered to the Taliban. For thousands of vulnerable Afghans who'd trusted American promises, the collapse meant one thing: a death sentence. Chad assembled special operations veterans to rescue Aziz, but when one team member mentioned 3,500 orphans needing help, their mission expanded dramatically. Partnering with Sarah Verardo of the Independence Fund, they created Save Our Allies, establishing a joint operations center and securing nonprofit status in record time. Chad's son, Hunter, a Marine and Afghanistan veteran, insisted on joining despite the danger. "I'm booking our tickets," he declared, explaining his obligation to Afghans who'd protected him during deployment. They named themselves Task Force 6-8, inspired by Isaiah 6-8. "Here I am, send me." Joe Robert, a tattooed recon Marine with surprising global connections, leveraged his relationship with the UAE Crown Prince to secure extraordinary support: an operations command center in Abu Dhabi, two C-17 aircraft, pilots, airstrip access, and a fully equipped humanitarian center. Countries including Albania, Mexico, Canada, and Qatar offered assistance. Within a month, Save Our Allies raised $2 million. Politics and religious differences dissolved. A Jewish organization donated $1.6 million through a Christian nonprofit to rescue Muslims. They received over 22,000 evacuation requests in just 10 days, many from congressional offices unable to help their own allies. When governments failed, ordinary people stepped up. Hamid Karzai International Airport descended into chaos, thousands desperate to enter, people fainting from heat, mothers passing babies over walls, Taliban fighters shooting civilians. The world watched Afghans fall to their deaths clinging to departing planes. Despite State Department shelter-in-place warnings, Aziz kept Chad updated on his family's failed attempts to reach the airport. Taliban checkpoints meant beatings and confiscated documents. While British and German troops conducted helicopter rescues, American forces could only watch because the White House had inexplicably placed the State Department in charge. Chad likened this to taking an airline baggage handler and placing them in the pilot's seat. The team established rigorous verification protocols using changing symbols, passwords, and document checks. Their first rescue was Naren Slaw, a 21-year-old from President Ghani's office, extracted from Taliban captors moments before she would have been raped and killed. Aziz required significant convincing to make his eighth attempt after seven failures. Using precise coordinates, he reached the North Gate, where a U.S. Special Operations Master Sergeant vouched for him. After the Abbey Gate bombing killed 13 U.S. service members, the team faced a critical decision. Despite warnings of additional attacks, they unanimously chose to continue. They managed one final flight 3 days before the deadline, ultimately rescuing over 12,000 people through approximately 50 operations, second only to the Department of Defense. At the UAE Humanitarian Center, Chad found Aziz grieving the family he'd left behind. His father had insisted, "I've lived my life. You need to go get your family safe." Aziz became a leader in the center, organizing distribution alongside Chad's son, Hunter. Though they'd evacuated nearly 12,000 people, the mission continued. Safe houses sheltered 4,000 people in northern Afghanistan at $60,000 daily.
Chad's team conducted dangerous reconnaissance in Tajikistan, swimming the freezing Panj River while dodging Chinese military, Russian patrols, and Taliban fighters. Save Our Allies continues rescuing vulnerable Afghans and Americans, evacuating the FIFA girls' soccer team, MMA fighters, and dozens of U.S. citizens. After 8 months, Chad witnessed Aziz's family finally arrive in America. At their emotional reunion, Aziz's daughter embraced Chad. "Thank you, brother." Aziz reflected that perhaps the timing had been perfect. His delayed visa meant he was in Afghanistan during the withdrawal, leading to 17,000 others being rescued. When someone who saved your life needs saving, you don't wait for permission. You act.